Our first lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John, the first chapter. This may sound sort of familiar, but we're starting this passage at a place that's a little different than we've heard it a lot in the last few weeks. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from John chapter 1 again, later in the chapter, verses 29 to 34. Listen again for God's word. The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Don't point. It's not polite to point. I can't tell you the number of times I heard that growing up from my parents, school teachers, Sunday school teachers, people who had some influence and authority in my life. Like most children, I had that natural curiosity and enthusiasm that didn't just see things. I pointed them out to whomever was around me, and I used my body and my words to do that. "Look at that bird. Look at that building. Look at those people. She has blue hair. He has a tattoo." I now know that some of it didn't really matter that I pointed it out. I don't think the birds or the buildings cared too much that I pointed at them. But I know that my parents didn't want me pointing out something about other people and saying something embarrassing. I also know that they didn't want me to make other people feel uncomfortable or judged by me. So I learned not to point, at least a little. On the other hand, we count on people and signs to point out important information and show us what we need to know to survive and thrive in the world all the time. Walk this way. Left turn only. Stop. Danger beyond this point. What would we do without Google Maps and Waze to tell us, "In 2 miles, your destination is on the right"? We rely even more on people in our lives, especially our parents, friends, teachers, and mentors, bosses, and colleagues, to point us in the right direction as we learn and grow and make our way in this world. Imagine where you'd be today if an important person hadn't pointed you in a particular direction, encouraged you to try something new, or introduced you to something or someone that changed the course of your life. To point or not to point? That's today's question on this third Sunday in the season of Epiphany. You may recall that Epiphany means revelation. The season of Epiphany starts with the story of the wise men who followed a star which pointed the way to the manger and the newborn king of the Jews. Even though we sent out star words to everyone, the star is not the important part of the story. It's what the star pointed to. Emmanuel, God with us. In fact, that's what the whole season of Epiphany is about. Pointing out when and where Jesus shows up in the world so that we can find him too. Our scripture readings today, especially the second one, introduce us to someone who clearly hadn't been taught proper etiquette about pointing, but maybe that's the point. The first reading sets the stage. It's the more familiar one to many of us. It's what we read at Christmas time. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That summarizes the incarnation, what we celebrate during the Christmas season. But there is this one particular part in that reading that we don't often point out that tells us what happened when Jesus became one of us. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people didn't accept him. Just because he became one of us doesn't mean people recognized him as anything more than another human being. Just because the Word became flesh doesn't mean that he was accepted as God's presence among us. No one without God's help saw anything special about Jesus. No deeper awareness of who he really was. I suspect for most people, he was just another face in the crowd. Recognizing God with us is a common problem throughout the Bible. Moses didn't recognize God's presence in the burning bush. Very few listened to the voices of the prophets of God when they spoke. After the crucifixion, Mary Magdalene mistook Jesus for a gardener until he called her by name. At the end of Luke's gospel, two men were walking on the road to Emmaus. They came upon a stranger who walked with them, talked about God's plan, but they didn't recognize him as Jesus until he broke bread and offered them communion. And certainly in Matthew's gospel, Jesus told a parable of sheep and goats. One group saw only hungry people and ignored them, while the other saw them and fed them. One group saw thirsty people but did nothing to help, while the other group gave them something to drink. One group saw strangers, people unable to afford clothes, the sick, the incarcerated, and blamed those people for their woes, while the other group did something to relieve their suffering and restore their dignity. Both groups learned that when you act or you don't act, you are either doing something for Jesus or you are not doing something for Jesus. It's not just the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, or the imprisoned. Seeing the presence of Jesus in people, even seeing Jesus himself, seems to be something that needs to be nurtured in all of us, the Bible suggests. It requires us to examine our worldview, as Richard Rohr writes in his book, The Universal Christ, and to understand how it limits us. Our worldview is not what you look at, he says. It's what you look out from or look through. When the world is only matter or spirit, he says, then our worldview will always be limited to one or the other. When our worldview is incarnational, he writes, we learn to rely more on awakening, more on seeing than obeying, more on growth in consciousness and love than on clergy, experts, morality, scripture, or rituals. We begin to see a world soaked with presence. This is what makes John the Baptist so important in our second reading. Normally, near the beginning of Epiphany, we talk about the story of Jesus' baptism, but the gospel writer John, not the same John as John the Baptist, the gospel writer John wants us to see more than just the baptism today. John wants us to see John the Baptist too, what he sees and what he does, not only when Jesus shows up for his baptism, but every time Jesus shows up. John the Baptist had been preaching a message of repentance and baptizing people in the wilderness, and he was gaining quite a following as a result. People were receiving from him what organized religion of his day wasn't giving them: honesty, truth-telling, acceptance, hope, renewal. In fact, some people wanted to make John the next Messiah, but John knew who he was, and John knew who he wasn't. John knew that he wasn't the Messiah. He knew that he wasn't the Word made flesh, but he did know his purpose. John knew that he was there to create a space for God to show up. And when the real Messiah revealed himself, when John sees God with us and not just another person, John knew that his job was to point it out and to point the way to the true Messiah. So that's what John did when he saw Jesus coming to him. He pointed Jesus out. He didn't keep what he saw to himself. He said, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Then John recounted what he saw when he baptized Jesus. It was more than just dunking a person underwater in a river. "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him," John said. "I saw God in him. I myself have seen and have testified," John said, "that he is the Son of God." Yes, Jesus was baptized, and yes, it was a powerful moment. But the invitation of this story is to see what John did with what he saw. Seeing is so important, in fact, that 8 different Greek words are used to describe how John saw in this passage. John didn't just see a person in front of him. He saw who the person was. He saw what God did in the baptism. He saw what it meant. He saw how Jesus was going to bring about healing and wholeness, love and grace, forgiveness and new life. And everything he saw compelled him to point Jesus out to others, to point others to the Messiah so that they could see for themselves and know his healing and wholeness, his love and grace, his forgiveness and new life also. John is such an example of maturity. He is so mature, in fact, in his understanding of what he saw, that the next day, beyond our scripture reading, when John saw Jesus again, he pointed Jesus out to 2 of his own disciples, and they left John and followed Jesus. Their growth was more important than his status in their eyes. John did for Jesus and the people around him what the star did for the wise men. He didn't let the baptism be just a little bit of water on Jesus or a cute moment to remember. He pointed out what he saw, who he really saw. God with us in the person of Jesus Christ, the one sent by God to bring light into the dark places of this world. John was not the light, but he came to testify to the light, to the true light which enlightens everyone. We know John was enlightened because he pointed beyond himself to that very light. So let's return to that fundamental question: to point or not to point? If you're going to point people out to make them different, other, blameworthy, or to take away their dignity, then my mother and father and many others are right. Stop pointing. But if you see the presence of God in people as you love them, feed them, clothe them, befriend them, suffer with them, walk with them through life, then point away. If you're seeing people as daughters and sons of God, then point them to the one who is the true light in your life. Point out the one present in them already. Point out the way he offers healing and wholeness, love and grace, forgiveness and new life. Then you too will be living your purpose like the star word, like John the Baptist, as people of faith in the body of Christ called the church, seeing God in this life soaked with presence. Amen.